The study this month is on thoughts, words, and meditations. My question to you is this: what are you meditating on, and what is proceeding from your mouth? What is it that you're meditating on? What is it that you think about, and what is proceeding from your mouth? Look what the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14 is what David writes. In context, he is asking God to forgive his hidden faults and to keep him from willful sins. And then in verse 14 of Psalm 19, David writes, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let me read that again. He writes, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What is the psalmist writing? He is asking God to make his words and thoughts acceptable and pleasing to him, to God that is. How many here tonight want to displease God, the creator of this universe? None of us, right? Let me ask it the other way. How many here tonight want to please God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of this universe? Every hand should go up. All right, so let's see what the writer to Hebrews says concerning pleasing God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. He talks about how we can please God. Famous verse, I've read it before many times, I've talked about it, but it bears repeating here tonight. Hebrews 11, 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. To me, that says that with faith, it is possible to please God. Faith pleases God. Say it with me tonight. Faith pleases God. Say it with me. My faith in God pleases God. So, if you want to please God, based on what the psalmist writes in Psalm 19:14, you must be speaking and thinking faith. You must be speaking and thinking faith. Remember, your words, your verbal words, are expressions of your thoughts, of what's happening on the inside of you. Let me say it again. Your words that you speak are expressions of your thoughts, of what's happening on the inside of you. What did Jesus say in reference to the Pharisees who were accusing him of some pretty bad things in Matthew 12:34? Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What does that mean? That means what's going on the inside of you, what's happening on the inside of you, will be expressed outwardly by your words. Is that making sense here tonight? Yes. So my question to you tonight is this: is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart, your innermost being, full of God? Is your heart, your innermost being, full of strong faith in God? Is it full of faith, knowing that you know beyond the shadow of any doubts that what God has promised to you, the miracle breakthrough that God has promised to you, that He will do in your life? Is it well with your soul? Is God alive and well on the inside of you? Do you have strong faith in God on the inside, that knowing that you know beyond the shadow of any doubts, what God has promised you, He will do in your life? I'm going to read you an illustration here from the Speaker's Quote book. Pretty interesting. And it says this: some scientists in Scotland offered a boy a handsome sum of money if he would allow himself to be let down by a rope over a cliff in a precipitous mountain gorge. The boy longed for the money, for he was poor, but when he looked down in the 200-foot chasm, he said, no. After further persuasion, he said, I will go if my father holds the rope. That is faith. He had confidence in his father. He believed in his father, and by an act of the will, he allowed his father to fasten the rope around him and let him down. He had confidence in his father. Let me ask you tonight, do you have full confidence, trust, and faith in your heavenly father? Do you? Is your heart full of strong faith toward God, your heavenly father? You see, if your heart is full of faith in God, inwardly, in your soul, in your innermost being, then it will be expressed outwardly in words of faith, words that please God. If God is on the inside, and you've got strong faith in God on the inside, what's on the inside will come to the outside through your words. You will express words of faith toward the God that you serve. Is that making sense here tonight? Case in point, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. You know, if you've got that strong faith in God on the inside of you, if your heart is full of God, if God is alive and well on the inside of you, and you trust God, your confidence is in God, and you speak with your words that faith that you have in God, guess what? At that point, the miracle working power of God can go into effect in your life. But you've got to believe it in your heart, and you've got to speak that faith with your mouth. And faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside without doubting that God will do that miracle for you. It's a persistent faith that God is looking for. God is looking for a persevering faith. God is looking for a faith that does not give up when it gets tough in your life. Maybe you've got some sickness in your life. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe somebody has told you it's incurable. Maybe the doctors have told you it's incurable. But what has God promised you? If God has promised you that He can heal you, God can do it, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Amen. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. These are people whose hearts were full of faith, strong faith in God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him, before Jesus, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Jairus, this was one of the synagogue rulers, Jairus. This man had strong faith in God. He knew on the inside, deep down on the inside, that God could raise his daughter back to life. And what he believed inwardly about God's power, he expressed outwardly with his words. What did he say? He said, "My daughter's just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Come and put your hand on her and she will live. Outwardly, this was his verbal expression of his faith in God. He was speaking words that please God in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? This man had full faith in God. And then, in the midst of this, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched his cloak, the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about having that strong faith in God on the inside. Are your thoughts full of faith in God? Are your meditations on the inside all about strong faith and trust and confidence in God? And if you've got that on the inside, faith, confidence, and trust in God, it will be expressed outwardly in your words. So this woman who had bled for 12 years, how many here tonight would agree that she had strong faith in God? She had strong confidence in God. How do we know? By the words that came forth out of her mouth. What did she say? She said this, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. She had faith on the inside and in her innermost being. She spoke that faith with her words, and the miracle-working power of God went into effect in her life, and the bleeding stopped. Isn't that awesome? We serve a God that never changes. The Word of God says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago when He walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus who is with us tonight in spirit, and He wants to do a miracle in your life. But you've got to have that strong faith in God on the inside of you. Your thoughts have got to be thoughts of faith in God. Your meditations have got to be meditations of faith in God. And then you've got to express with your mouth that faith that you have in God, like this woman did. Now we'll keep going on here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 23. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. Who laughed at Jesus? The naysayers laughed at Jesus. The doubters laughed at Jesus. In other words, they're like, "Yeah, right. She's not asleep. She's dead." They were laughing at him. They didn't believe in the power of God. They were doubters. My question to you tonight is this: what are your thoughts full of? Are they full of faith in God, or are they thoughts of doubt, fear, worry, and unbelief? Don't listen to the naysayers. If the doctors, if your family has told you, you know what, your disease is incurable, guess what? If God has promised you that He would heal you, God is able to heal you. Away with the naysayers. You know, if somebody is telling you, you know what, your financial situation is irreversible. You've claimed bankruptcy once too many times. You can't turn it around. But if God has promised to you that He's going to turn your finances around, hold fast to that word, and God can turn your financial situation around. Don't listen to the naysayers, to the negative talkers, to the ones who doubt the power of God. Is that making sense here tonight? Tune them out and tune into the Word of Almighty God. Amen? You know, somebody might be telling you that relationship, that earthly relationship, is not going to be reconciled. But if God has promised you that He would reconcile that relationship in your life, tune out the naysayers and tune into what God has promised you. Could you say amen here tonight? Amen. Is that good news? We go on to the next account. Verse 27 of Matthew 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, let's just back up a scripture actually. Let's back up a scripture. Verse 25. After the crowd had been put outside, He went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. So Jesus did what? He did a miracle. He raised the dead girl back to life. Why? Because the girl's father was full of what? Full of what? Faith in God on the inside, in his innermost being, and he spoke his faith outwardly with his words when he said, "But come and put your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus did exactly that. He made the dead girl live again. Awesome news, isn't it? This is good news. This is the gospel. As Jesus went on from there, now let's go to verse 27. Two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Jesus asked the blind men, "Do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight?" And how did they respond? They responded with what? Yes. Words of faith. What did they say? They said, "Yes, Lord." That was indicative that what? That on the inside, in their innermost being, inwardly, they had strong faith in God. They knew that the miracle worker was in their presence. They just knew that they knew that they knew beyond the shadow of any doubt that Jesus could restore their sight again. Is that making sense here tonight? And the very faith that was on the inside of them was expressed by their words, by a firm, "Yes, Lord," and their sight was restored. So my question tonight to you is this: what has God promised you? What miracle has God promised you in your life? Financial breakthrough? A better job or a job? Has He promised that reconciling of a broken relationship? Has God promised to you healing of what people are saying is an incurable disease? Hold on to what God has told you. Hold on to what God has promised you. Believe it on the inside. Hold on to that faith in God. Persevere in your faith in God. Express that faith with your mouth, and God will bring it to pass in your life. Are you hearing this tonight? This is straight out of the Word of God. So, the last point, the last question is this. You might be thinking tonight, okay, so Jonathan, how do I grow in my faith in God inwardly? How do I grow in my faith in God? That's a good question. How do you grow in your faith in God? Anybody have any ideas? How do you grow in your faith in God? How is it? That's it. Romans 10:17 says what? But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Which Word of God? This Word of God, the Bible. So, the point here tonight is this, is you've got to be in the Word of God to renew your mind according to God's way of thinking. You've got to be in the written Word of God, not just at Easter and at Christmas time. You need to be in the Word of God, written Word of God, on a consistent basis, on a daily basis. Twice a year is not going to cut it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Remember this, the books that you read, the newspapers that you read, the magazines you read will influence your thoughts. They will influence your heart. If you're reading thrillers, it's going to influence your heart, it's going to influence your thoughts, and it's going to influence the words that proceed from your heart. You know, there's a lot of bad news out there on the internet, in the newspapers, in magazines, in books. Away with that. Let's start concentrating more on the best book of all, the most positive book in the world, the Word of God. Not just every so often, but on a consistent daily basis. You might not be able to read a lot in a day. You might be able to read two or three scriptures, and maybe as the days go on, you're able to read five or six scriptures, and then as the months go on, you're able to get to a chapter or two chapters or three chapters a day. And as you get into the Word of God, the washing of the water of the Word, it will renew your mind, your heart, to start thinking like God, to start thinking like Jesus on the inside. And what's on the inside of you inwardly will be eventually expressed outwardly from your mouth in faith, where it's pleasing to God, and that miracle will come about in your life. Say it tonight. I'm going to start getting into God's Word, reading it on a consistent basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just read you one scripture here from the Old Testament. I don't want to get into too many more scriptures, but Joshua 1, verse 8. And it says this: do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Now, in New Testament language, this is the book of the law right here, the Bible. Meditate on the word day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do not let this book of the law depart from where? Depart from your mouth, but do what?
Meditate on it.
Think about it. Mull on it day and night. Getting into the Word of God has got to be a consistent spiritual habit and discipline in our lives. If you want to build your faith in God,
and eventually express that faith outwardly with your words so that God can do a miracle in your life, you've got to be getting into this word. And number two, how's the other way that you build your faith in God? Number two, Matthew chapter 16, one final set of scriptures. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this amongst themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Do you still not understand? Do you not remember? Don't you remember? Jesus was talking about, mentioned the yeast of the Pharisees. And so the disciples thought he was talking about literal yeast and bread. And Jesus said, no, you have little faith. I'm not talking about bread, but if I were talking about bread, can't you remember the 2 miracles I just did? Just recently, I fed thousands of people twice with just a little bit of bread that you brought to me in my hands. Can't you remember? And by the way, I'm not talking to you about literal bread. I'm talking to you about the teaching of the Pharisees. But the point of this passage to us is this, is that we have got to remember back to the miracles of God. Think back to the miracles of God in your life. Maybe it was at one point in your life where you needed a bus ticket, a $2 or $3 ticket, and maybe somebody gave you the ticket. Maybe somebody gave you the money for the ticket. Guess what? That was God that provided that for you. Think back to that miracle. Maybe today you need a week's worth of groceries. The God who provided the ticket way back when can provide your groceries today. Maybe way back when God provided a week's worth of groceries miraculously. Think back, remember, like Jesus was talking about to the disciples in Matthew 16. Think back to that miracle. The God who did it then is the same God who can provide you with the rent payment you need to live month by month. Is that making sense here tonight? You've got to remember back to the miracle God did for you. It might not have been a big thing. It might have been very small. But even those small little miracles came from the hand of whom? They've come from the hand of Almighty God. Like Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 16, don't you remember? I'm telling you tonight. Can't you remember to what God did for you in the past? Remember that. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your memory. The God who did it then is the same God who can do it in a bigger way today. Is that making sense here tonight? Yeah. That will grow your faith in God. Maybe God healed you of high blood pressure way back when. And now maybe you're facing a more serious infirmity, maybe cancer. Well, the God who did it for you way back when is the same God who can heal you miraculously of that cancer today. Is that making sense? Amen. Say it with me tonight. I am going to remember back to those miracles God did for me in the past. The same God who did it then is able to do it now. For me, in a bigger way, in Jesus' name, amen. So how do you grow your faith in God? Number one, getting into this word. And number two, remembering back to what God did for you in the past. God can do it for you again in a greater way. God is always faithful. God has got your back. God will never let you down. God is faithful. He never changes. The same God who did that smaller miracle for you in the past, a bus ticket, some groceries, some rent money, healing of blood pressure, high blood pressure, is the same God today who can do it in a bigger way. If you think about it that way and you remember back, your faith in God will increase. Is that good news here tonight?